So we'd like to go back to where the last time we were here, it's been about 3 weeks ago, and brought a message on resisting the devil. So this is part two of that message. So we're just going to get right back into the message. We began with James chapter 4 a few weeks ago, where it says, resist the devil and what? And he will flee from you. And there is power that God has given us this morning to resist the devil. And the Lord wants us to take courage this morning to know that whatever temptations you face, that there is power for you to overcome. Too many times the enemy would like to cause people to think that there is no power or strength available to overcome temptation. But whether it's something in the mind, whether it is a temptation of the flesh, whatever the case might be, there is power this morning for us to be able to resist the devil. And when we resist the devil, he will do what? He will flee. Now, sometimes there's a battle in that time, isn't there? And we also recognize that after we resist the devil and he flees, the devil is going to end up doing what? He's going to come back. And then we need to resist him again. So I want to encourage especially you young people, don't get tired of resisting the devil. I remember times that I got so almost frustrated and tired because it seemed like the devil just wouldn't leave me alone. Well, to have victory, you got to keep fighting. So don't give up and don't get to the places like I'm just tired of fighting. Keep resisting, and ours is the victory through Jesus Christ. The scripture in the book of Revelation said they overcame him, talking about the enemy, the wicked one, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. So we have power this morning through Jesus Christ to resist the devil in such a way that he has to flee from us. I'd like to pick up now with, in the book of Matthew, in the 4th chapter, very familiar passage, said Jesus, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Have you ever thought that if you were as close to the Lord as maybe you thought you were, you shouldn't be being tempted like you were? Has anybody ever thought that besides me? It's like, well, if you were as spiritual, if you were as close to the Lord, then how in the world could you even be really being tempted like this? Want us to remind us that that is the nature of temptation. Jesus himself was tempted of the devil. And we're not Jesus, we're God's children. We too are tempted of the devil, and don't ever judge your experience with God based on the nature of your temptations. I know that people that are newly saved, the enemy likes to tempt them with things that they were in bondage to. But when you are saved and living for the Lord, the enemy is going to tempt you with something, or temptation is what draws on the flesh, isn't it? The things that don't really concern you or you don't even have any desire for in the flesh, those aren't even a temptation. As Brother Cook used to tell us, we're not going to get any stars in our crown, so to speak, for not doing what we don't want to do anyway. And you've heard my illustration, put a can of beer in front of me. I really have zero desire for beer, saved or unsaved. It doesn't appeal to me in the flesh. I mean, why be left with what it brings? In other words, it has no appeal. But do you know, someone is not less spiritual than me if they were tempted by that can of beer. That doesn't make them any less spiritual. It's just a different temptation. But you could do other things that all of us are tempted because we're all in the flesh. So let's not allow the enemy to steal our joy or our peace because of the nature of the temptations that he uses to try to pull us. But when we recognize this is a temptation, and as we talked about a few weeks ago, the devil is what? He is he's a liar. He's the father of lies. So when he paints his picture that, well, it would be better, no, he's a liar. And hence the nature of temptation as well. It looks good on the surface. But if you give in to the temptation, it's going to eventually
bring heartache and destruction. All right, so Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by what? By bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time in this passage here, but I want us to take note of something. When did the enemy come and tempt Jesus? At his weakest time. Isn't it the same for us this morning? Now, there is a aspect that we could consider the spiritual aspect of grace and faith in those spiritual aspects in defeating the enemy. But I'd also like to consider some very practical things this morning. We need to recognize that when we are in a weakened condition physically, the enemy is going to come along with temptation. Which means when we begin to get tired and worn out, Jesus was hungry. He'd been through this long period of fasting. We need to be extra careful and recognize, okay, this is the devil. I understand I am tired and I'm being drawn to that. Not a time to be making major decisions in life when we're in a worn out condition. If you have just come out of a time of grieving, if you have come out of a lot of emotional trauma, if you've come out of a spiritual battle, if you are in a weakened condition physically, it's not generally the time to be making major changes in your life because you are in a weakened condition. And we want to recognize then the enemy for what he is. That's when he came to Jesus, and Jesus responded with the word of God. It will, when we begin to resist the devil, we need to use the word of God to recognize who the enemy is, recognize his lies. Because the enemy is devious. And he's a pretty smart fella, and I don't want to give him any higher credibility than what he deserves. But we're not ignorant of his devices. We know how he works, which means we need to take the word of God and use it to recognize the enemy. Well, there are some facts in the stats, right? Statistics. Facts in the stats, the way I just kind of wrote it in my note. I want to share with you a few statistics, and these are kind of old statistics, but man is the same, so I don't think a lot's changed. There was a survey given, and it said that the respondents noted that temptation was more potent, or it was stronger, when they had neglected their time with God. Have y'all ever noticed that's true? Just gotten busy with life and haven't been maybe as faithful and diligent as you should have been in spending time with God, and it seemed like temptation was stronger? What does that tell us? What should we learn from that very practically? Take time with the Lord. Do you recognize that we people in our society are spending so much time with the things of this world, lawful things, and there are a lot of people that are neglecting their soul? This morning, saints, there is nothing more important than you taking time to be with the Lord. Every morning, just let the Lord be a part of your life throughout the day and commune with Him. But I want to give you a caution, and I would that everyone that has ever been in this chapel were here this morning. But unfortunately, that's not the reality. But, and I'm preaching to people that are here. So this is not an indictment on you, but I want to remind you something. If you ever start feeling like you're too busy for worship, or too busy to come to service because I've got to take care of this and that, I want to caution you that that's a trick of the enemy. There is nothing more important than us setting aside time, dedicated time to be with the Lord and to come together in fellowship in prayer meeting, in services when there's services, in camp meetings. And I know that we always can't be in every service that's ever held. I understand that. But as a pattern of life, we need to put God first in our, we need to put Him first all the time. But as far as being in service, we need to put the Lord first. Put that a priority, because when people begin to neglect that, there's this mentality in our world that the Lord's with me and I can handle this and I'm still praying and looking to the Lord, but I don't have to be in service or I don't have to do this and that. Almost every time you can start watching people that take that approach and see them suffer spiritually. So part of resisting the devil is going to come about, the authority and the power of that is going to come by putting the Lord first in our life and taking time to spend with the Lord. Well, 81% said that temptation was stronger when they were physically tired. Physically tired. Now, is that spiritual? I mean, physical and spiritual, that's two separate things, isn't it? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I want you young people, I have some real practical advice for you this morning. When you are tired physically, be careful. And when are we generally the most tired? What time of day? In the evening, isn't it? At nighttime. When is temptation generally stronger? At nighttime. Tired, worn out, mentally and physically drained. And there's more doors, it seems like, opened in our mind for the devil to try to start tempting and bringing things to your mind that you ought not to feed on. Do you know that if we can recognize that, it ought to start possibly changing practically some things? If there's things, if you're going to be in a place that maybe the enemy has possibility to work, is it something you can do in the daytime? Is it something, can you make some decisions not to put yourself in a vulnerable place? Be extra careful at nighttime. I told more than one person, I believe, and I left my phone down there, I guess. But do you know sometimes it might just, how many, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I think I probably know the answer. How many people pull their phone out when they're laying in bed ever? Now don't raise your, well, okay, well, there's two. Because I believe that probably a lot of people would say yes, you know. And is it a lot easier just to reach over there and pull your phone, can't sleep, and so you pull your phone out, kind of see what's going. Let me ask you this, I'm not going to ask for, so I don't want your hand. I wonder this morning how many people have gotten in trouble because of that. Now, you don't have to say amen, but I want to caution you young folks and you old folks, all of us, this morning. The devil works more when people are tired because our resistance is lower. So I want to caution us about the things that we open the door to, and it might mean sometimes, I will even say this, that sometimes if the enemy is bringing things to your mind, you're laying in bed or you're tired and you're by yourself somewhere and the enemy is bombarding you with thoughts and things, maybe of the flesh, maybe of resentments or things people did to you or things, you're just not quite as strong physically and mentally. It behooves us sometimes to physically get up and change our environment. If I am by myself and the devil is working me over as I resist him, it might be good for me to get up and go and get around other people. You see, the enemy, it can begin to lose the power that he has in that connection in my mind when I begin to fill my mind with other things. So young folks, when you're by yourself in your room and the devil comes along and is battling you and it's just like you're fighting and it's just like the devil won't leave you alone, it might be good to get up and go be with the family. Get out and go, maybe go do something, but occupy your mind. And you may say, well, that's not real spiritual. Oh, trust me, it's spiritual when you can begin to resist the devil and he doesn't have the power that he had. So be cautious when you're tired. And that doesn't mean just by wrong things. You can be tired from work. You can be tired of working in the house. You can be tired of doing God's work. Do you know for ministers, times that ministers are the most vulnerable many times is after a very blessed meeting. Because God has blessed and you come home and you're exhausted and wiped out, and I won't quote who it was, but I heard one elder brother that has gone on to glory now said about the last thing he wanted to do when he got home from a meeting was open his Bible. In other words, it wasn't unspiritual, just like you've been so occupied with the work of the Lord, it's like you're mentally worn out. The devil works really hard during those times. So that means that regardless of what the cause is, recognize that temptation can begin to lose its power when you begin to identify where the enemy works, how he works, and when he works, and then let's begin to do what we can to circumvent that as we resist him. And you know, sometimes it may mean just getting more sleep. No, say, Brother Michael's saying we've got to get so many hours of sleep. But do you realize children perform better in school when they get enough sleep? They do. In the rate, it's not just 6 hours for children either. It's a lot higher than that for young children especially. But too many times parents are so busy, they don't get their children to bed like they ought to, and they wonder why their children are suffering in school and struggling over here. It becomes a spiritual issue. It can become a spiritual issue. So let's just be aware of how the enemy works. Well, 57%, 81%, rather, I want to get this right. The 81% said when they neglected their time with God. 57% said it was stronger when they were physically tired. That was 57%. And there was power and ability to resist. 84% said was accomplished through prayer. Now, I would say resisting the devil, it should be higher than 84%. That's one of our go-tos. First thing, when the devil starts battling us, we seek the Lord. Lord, I need your help right here. Don't ever be ashamed to tell the Lord what you're struggling with. He knows. So we don't need to be embarrassed or ashamed to just be open and say, Lord, I am really struggling with such and such. And I want to get Lord help us now to give a little more specific practical advice. There is power to pray specifically. Because temptation isn't a battle and isn't a problem until it is. You know, that doesn't sound real profound. But you know, sometime you can go and say, oh, that's not a problem, that's not a problem at all. Catching about 8 hours, it might be a problem. You see what I'm saying? Every day, if there has been something the enemy has been particularly battling you with or tempting you with, pray specifically for that need every single day. If it's somebody that's a pain in your life, if it's someone that's a thorn in your flesh, pray for them every single day. Lord, help me today. Lord, pray positively for them. And for you, say, Lord, would you help me today to have the love and the forgiveness that I need to have and should have for that person. Invest yourself in that prayer specifically. If you are struggling with something in your mind, something of the flesh, pray specifically for it. If there is a music that you have been, has been a temptation to you that you know is not good for you spiritually, and you do good for a while, and then pretty soon you kind of start picking it back up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I know you young people are going to sit and not want to nod your head, but I think you know what I'm talking about. Pray specifically. If you've been watching something, if you've been looking at something, and the Lord dealt with me and I laid that down. For how long did you lay it down? Why did you pick it back up? When did you pick it back up? When you were feeling weak and tired and a little discouraged and just kind of little blah and just, it started occupying something in your mind that you know what the Lord said to do. So what do we do in those situations? Pray specifically, Lord, help me today. And if you've gone a week and you've had victory and you've gone a month, don't give up, because that's when the devil's going to come back with it. You say, well, I've got victory. I've gone 2 weeks now. Well, wait till the fourth week. Then the devil's going to come back. So if it's a weakness where the devil battles, pray specifically every single day, Lord, today, help me to maintain my purpose of heart that I'm not going to go back to that thing that you wanted me to lay down. Another piece of advice I would just give, and some of this is just very kind of practical teaching this morning maybe, but one of the things that the Lord would have us to do as well when we are fighting the enemy to resist the devil is to take the place in our minds and our hearts that the enemy was pulling on and put something positive in its place. All right? Now, let's turn and read in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 22. Well, 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. Not sure what I wrote down a scripture wrong here. I had it. Flee also youthful lust. Flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness. And I gave the wrong reference there. But he said to flee. What does it mean to flee? Yeah, get away from it. Run from it. Physically, what is it? Okay, I had the wrong chapter I wrote down. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Thank you. Flee also youthful lust. And I know I brought out before, but as one brother said, you flee them because you don't grow out of them. All right? You flee youthful lust. Old people have to flee youthful lust. Well, there are times that you physically need to change your environment, as we brought out. But he said, but follow. Don't just run from it. Part of the power that we have in resisting the devil effectively is filling that place with something positive. So if the Lord, if the enemy is using something to tempt you with, I'm just going to use music for an example. There's nothing wrong with good music. There's nothing wrong with that. So if the enemy is tempting you with music that you shouldn't have, find a good, pure alternative. Okay? So flee the stuff you shouldn't have. Get rid of it. Don't leave those, I would say CDs, but we're past those ages, right? Don't leave those files on your computer or on your phone and say, I don't listen to those. Why are they even on your phone? Delete them. Well, I know, but it kind of leaves the door open, doesn't it? Has anybody ever done that besides me with something? It's like you lay it down, but yet you didn't really get rid of something. Just, you know, why are we keeping it? If you know what the will of God is, flee. Get rid of it. Delete it. It's like I said, one young man got saved. It was a number of years ago, and his sister got saved, and he went in his sister's closet and took all her CDs and put them on the railroad tracks with a shotgun and blew them apart. I don't know that she wanted him to do it, but he was going to help her out a little bit. But there is some truth to some of this, is that if we want to resist the devil, get rid of the bad analogy after the shotgun. Get rid of the ammunition that the enemy's using. You understand? Is a mixed analogy there. But what the enemy uses to draw us, let's get rid of the things he's using. So if it's music and there's music in your home, on your phone, on your computer, that you say, okay, I'm going to lay that down, get rid of it. Because when you're in a weak moment, it's not there anymore. And you have to at least make another step to rebuy it or search for it again. You've got a little more time to get victory before you just push a play button. Is that too practical? I mean, this is right where we live, isn't it? And this has a lot of ramifications. If you don't want to eat sweets, get rid of the donuts. Now, you want an example? Yesterday, I had gone because, and I had brought some breakfast home to the children, and I went ahead and got a few donuts in a box with it. And the donut man gave me an extra. So I had them sitting there, and I had a little bit, and I told Ethan, I don't even think Vanessa knew we had donuts, did you? She didn't know. We got rid of the ammunition. I told Ethan, there are these donuts sitting there. I said, Ethan, you can eat what you want, but just get rid of them. If you're not, just get rid of it. And I came in later because I wanted them. I said, where are those donuts? He said, I threw them away. I was like, man, why'd you do that? I told him to. But in a moment of weakness, you see how temptation works though? In a moment of weakness, the donuts were gone. Now, if they would have been there, I would have had some. With the Lord, do you not see how this works? With the Lord, as we want to resist the devil, get rid of things in your life that the enemy has been using. Amen. So, fill it with something positive. Flee youthful lust, but follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The scripture in Romans chapter 13 verse 14 says to make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It doesn't just say don't fulfill the lust thereof. He said don't make provision for it. Don't leave the door open. So practically, young people, and this applies to all of us, but these are some lessons that can help you. Close the door and don't even make provision to do wrong. Now, this is the reason why, and not many people take my advice, but I'm going to give it anyway. And do with it what you will. You young folks, when you get to the place in life that maybe you're out and you're looking for a companion, I want to tell you, you're better off to spend most of your time in well-lit family public environments. Amen. Because the more time you spend alone, the more time you spend later in the evening, later at night, the more power the enemy has, the more ammunition he has to work. And it's not that it's sin or don't misunderstand. This is just practical things to be aware of. Young folks, be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of the fact in your life, and it applies in lots of different areas. When I go to this place, it seems like the devil works a lot more. Maybe you ought to stop going to those places then. It might not be sin, but if you recognize areas where the enemy temptation is stronger, then maybe you ought to avoid those places. Don't make provision. And I can tell you this morning from experience of praying with a lot of folks, there would be a lot of people that would have been better served to take this kind of counsel because it got them in trouble when they didn't. So I would just encourage us in whatever age, recognize our environment. The devil works stronger in different environments. So let's be aware of our environment. We'll be done here shortly, at least for this morning on this. Actually, I think that's right now. We're not finished with the message. But I want us to remember, as we resist the devil this morning, there are some practical things that we can do. Recognize where the enemy works. Recognize, and one of the other statistics that I was going to share was that they said that 76% said that they overcame temptation by avoiding compromising situations. And that's what we just talked about. These are things that it's important. And one other thing, and we'll just close with this, that 52% said that they were able to resist better when they were accountable to someone. Now, those statistics can be lower and higher. We are accountable chiefly to the Lord. All right? And I believe if we can't be accountable to the Lord, then what are we being accountable to someone else? really doesn't have as much effect. But there is value in sharing temptation or a place of weakness with someone in saying, would you pray with me? Can I call, when I get in a weak moment, you know, I've told a lot of people after praying with them about things, I said, you know what, if you get in an odd time that you just need prayer and just the devil's working extra hard, you don't even have to say anything, just send me a text or call and say, hey, I need extra prayer right now. But you know, very few people do that. Very few people do that. But accountability means, and I'm going to say something else, in marriages, do you know there is value in sharing some, I don't think everything should be shared. And by that, I mean, I've heard people share things. It's like, you know what? Take that to the Lord and don't burden your companion with every thought that comes to your mind. You understand? And maybe you think those things don't even need to be said. They do need to be said. I wouldn't want to be burdened down with every single thought that comes to someone's mind. But if something has been a problem in a marriage, or in a home, young people, share. Your parents are they're there to help you. Don't be afraid to go, that there be some accountability. That, you know what, honey, I've really been struggling with this thing here, and this maybe something in my mind or something, I've been struggling with it, and I just want you to pray with me about it, and let that every once in a while, let that be a source of strength to us. So accountability can be another source to diffuse or steal from the enemy the ammunition that he has. Thank you for your attention this morning. There is victory over the devil through Christ. But some of it has to do with the practical decisions that we are making in addition to the spiritual equipment that the Lord has given to us. Amen.